This is WNBC, New York.
NBC Monitor News on the hour, brought to you by your Ford dealer, the place you gotta go to see what's going on. Now with the news, Jeffrey Pond.
The body of Dwight David Eisenhower, 34th President of the United States, now lies in repose in Washington's National Cathedral. A report from Carl Stern, NBC News, Washington.
The black limousine bearing the initials DDE has moved off from the cathedral, carrying Mrs. Dwight Eisenhower and members of the late president's family. Hundreds of persons have lined up, despite chilling winds, to wait to move past the closed casket in the small Bethlehem chapel beneath the sanctuary of the cathedral. General Omar Bradley, the late president's classmate in the class of 15 at West Point, and sole remaining five-star general, stayed on for several minutes. General Robert Schultz, the president's aide in war and peace, entered the chapel with three children a few minutes ago. The cathedral will close at 9 o'clock this evening. Tomorrow, in a full funeral procession through Washington, the former president's body will be moved to the Capitol Rotunda. In a simple three-sentence prayer said over the casket, Dean Francis Sayre of the cathedral asked that this sorrowful occasion be used to renew a sense of fellowship in our nation. Carl Stern, NBC News, at the Washington National Cathedral.
President Nixon, who is in seclusion at Camp David today, will give the eulogy tomorrow when the former president's remains lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda. French President de Gaulle, West German Chancellor Kiesinger, and England's Lord Mountbatten will attend the funeral service Monday afternoon at National Cathedral. The Soviet Union will be represented by a hero of the Battle of Stalingrad, Marshal Vasily Chuikov, and by First Deputy Foreign Minister Vasily Kuznetsov. General Eisenhower's body will be carried by train to Abilene, Kansas, for burial in his childhood surroundings. NBC News will provide comprehensive coverage of the funeral period. More news after this from Ford.
There are only 19 more days till Maverick arrives. Maverick, the new small car from Ford. Import buyers will want to wait till April 17th, but you others, here's news. Right now, your Ford dealer is having a countdown sale, knocking down prices as he counts down the days till Maverick arrives. You get sensational buys on a Galaxy 500, with special list price reductions on popular options totaling up to $144. The countdown sale includes the Fairlane hardtop, with price reductions on popular options that add up to $101. You always save on a Falcon, but the countdown sale reduces popular Falcon option prices another $52. And the Mustang sports roof is priced lower than a comparable 68 model. Right now, it's also equipped with options at special prices. Mustang, a neat package at a price reduction of up to $173. That's right, $173. Your Ford dealer's countdown sale is on now. So now's the time you gotta go see him and save. Once again, Jeffrey Pond.
British Prime Minister Wilson today continued his visit in Nigeria by inspecting a center for Biafran refugees at Port Harcourt, a part of Biafra held by federal troops. Wilson reportedly urged Nigeria's leader, General Gowon, to limit federal bombings to military targets and to stop attacking population centers. Gowon said that was already his policy. Three American counteroffensives are underway in South Vietnam's northern provinces. In one action, a third day of fighting just below the demilitarized zone reportedly cost the North Vietnamese 71 dead today. So far, in all three operations, the estimated death toll is 313 of the enemy, 37 Americans. The high-ranking member of Pope Paul's household who quit the priesthood was married today. 49-year-old ex-Monsignor Giovanni Mosanti and wealthy 37-year-old Giovanna Carlavaro were married in a church in Rome. In California, a case that was closely watched by the radical left has ended favorably for the anti-war defendants, the so-called Oakland Seven. A jury in Oakland acquitted them of conspiracy charges resulting from riotous demonstrations at the city's induction center in October 1967. More in a moment.
Ford's new small car Maverick arrives April 17th, okay? And to keep Ford dealers' record-breaking sales counting up, your Ford dealer is having a countdown sale. He's knocking down prices as he counts down the days till Maverick with sensational buys on Mustang sports roofs, priced lower than a comparable 68 model. Right now, it's also equipped with options at special prices, and it's wrapped up in a neat package and at a price reduction of up to $173. That's right, $173. So see your Ford dealer during his countdown sale.
A horse owned by an American and a Canadian has won England's grueling steeplechase, the Grand National at Aintree. The victor was a 12-year-old gelding, Highland Wedding, who was a long shot of 100-9 in the betting. Thousands of Catholic civil rights demonstrators in Northern Ireland marched in the Protestant section of Londonderry today, and for the first time in the Catholic campaign for equality, the Protestants did not molest them. Once again, the hour's top story. The casket holding the body of former President Eisenhower is in Washington's National Cathedral. The doors will be open to the public an hour from now. Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour when Ford brings you NBC Monitor News. On Monitor, Bert Camford and Maltese Melody. And if you didn't know that Malta is an island in the Mediterranean, you know it now. Because Monitor 69, like all of you, has taxes on its collective mind at this time of the year. We'll cover the subject from many angles this weekend, maybe even save you a few farthings with some practical advice. This is Gene Rayburn advising you that Monitor covers the whole weekend world from many angles, this one musical.
Got to say hello. I got a feeling that you're
Subject to which Monitor is paying special attention is income taxes. And to this end, we've invited Mr. Larry R. Winters, a New York manager for H&R Block Incorporated, America's largest tax service, to be our guest at Monitor. Mr. Winters, what are the most basic mistakes taxpayers make?
I think the single most basic mistake, which leads to a lot of other mistakes, is waiting until the last minute. By waiting until the last minute, the person tends to take too many shortcuts. He may use the short form when if he'd taken a little more time, he could have filed long form, itemized his deductions, and really realized a fairly substantial tax saving.
So the old admonition, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today, really applies here when it comes close to tax time, right?
I think it does. Of course, there are a lot of things that the individual can do throughout the year. Sort of planning ahead in order to start worrying now about his 1969 tax return.
Well, give us a for instance or two.
Well, of course, one of the big problems when the individual comes in to have his tax return prepared is he doesn't have sufficient information. He's missing a lot of things. And we have a little thing that we do in our own company. We give all of our clients a little envelope called a tax saver. And on this, written all the deductible items. And then when they make an expenditure, all they have to do is look at the tax saver, and if it is deductible, they just stick it in the envelope and save it for the time when they file their tax returns.
Now, what about contributions, Mr. Winter?
Well, contributions are a very tricky area. Contributions are deductible, that which you give to a recognized church or charitable organization. There are a lot of problems that can come up in this area, and it's primarily a question of proof. We have had a lot of cases where individuals just do not have any type of proof at all that they contributed to a specific charitable organization. For example, the Internal Revenue Service likes canceled checks and what have you, so therefore it's a good idea on church contributions that you make a pledge and pay your pledge by check. This way you have a definite written proof that you have made the contribution. There is one case that has happened. Of course, this is something of which the IRS is very well aware. This is the individual who every week would go to the bingo game sponsored by the local parish.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the game, he would walk up to the priest and say, "Father, I'm a little short of cash. Could I write you out a check?" And sure, make it payable to St. Mary's or whatever parish it happens to be. And he would take $25 out of the proceeds of the bingo game. Then when his tax return was audited by the Internal Revenue Service, all he had to do was say, "All right, here are all my canceled checks payable to St. Mary's Parish." The Internal Revenue Service, however, is on to this trick, so it doesn't do much good anymore.
They know about that?
Oh, I'm afraid so. They know about just about everything.
Shucks. I was going to try it, because it sounded pretty good to me. How'd they catch him?
Oh, I think what happens in many cases, the Internal Revenue Service pays what they call a finder's fee. And a lot of people have a tendency to brag about what they've accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And their neighbors don't like this. So when they start bragging about how they've gypped the Internal Revenue Service, the neighbor is just as likely to call in the federal agents and say, "So-and-so is bragging about how he's getting away with something on his income tax. Go get him."
Our guest here on Monitor, Mr. Larry R. Winters, a New York manager for H&R Block Company, Incorporated, and we thank you very much, sir, for filling us in on tax. A little earlier, I said that in the course of this taxes-oriented weekend, we might have some advice that'd save you a few farthings. So if you've won anything of value in the past year, or perhaps in a raffle for charity or on the match game or someplace like that, be sure to include it in your return. It's considered income. Now, how, you must be asking, does that save me a few farthings? Well, it doesn't. But you can deduct the cost of the ticket, and there are your farthings, you see. All of you farthings are gathered here together on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Bill Cosby. When I was going to college, I realized that many middle-class and upper-class college students didn't realize what was going on in the poverty area. And so, when it came time to teach children from the poverty area, they couldn't very well communicate with them. You have to learn how to communicate with kids who would probably never make it because they were missing out on a good education. Now, today, college kids know what's happening. Now, if you're one of these college graduates who understands the ballgame and wants to change the score, think about joining the Teacher Corps. It's 2 years of tough work in poverty area schools and communities, plus a tuition-free master's degree with $75 a week. Sounds challenging? You better believe it. Write Teacher Corps, Washington, D.C., 20202.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Gene Rayburn again, and since Monitor is focusing on taxes this weekend, here's an unusual historical item our researchers unearthed. Back in 1672 in Russia, the Tsar Peter the Great ordered the issue of a bronze coin that was evidence that the owner of the coin had paid a special tax. Now, what's so unusual about this? Well, the fact that the tax entitled the taxpayer to wear a beard. You know something? A tax like that in this country these days might cut the national debt substantially. While you mull this over, Monitor music now by Brenda Lee. Johnny, one time.
I told you that you're the dream that he's been searching for. And he told you that you'd never met anyone like you before. And I can hear him telling you your lips taste just like cherry wine. But did he tell you that he's known as Johnny one time?
Oh, did he tell you that your heart will soon be coming up?
You tell them all about it. Taxpayers in Massachusetts are revolting. Now, wait, hold on a minute. That's not meant to be derogatory. Just wanted to be sure we got your attention. Taxpayers everywhere, and that includes us, are unhappy with the zooming rise in taxes. But in Massachusetts, they have an historical precedent for reacting against unwanted taxation. And they're at it again. A report from David McCormick in Boston.
Back in 1773, a band of Americans tossed crates of tea into the Boston Harbor. They were protesting the high taxes imposed by the British government. This year, Massachusetts taxpayers took a page from the history books. Armed with tea bags, they stormed the state capitol and confronted the governor, again protesting high taxes. This has been called the year of the tax revolt, and everybody's getting on the protest bandwagon. Petitions are being circulated, and citizens' groups are being formed to carry the tax message the length of the Commonwealth. While the protest continues, Massachusetts Governor Francis Sargent is sitting on the sideline, watching every move closely. Sargent says he's convinced the taxes are too high. He wants to cut the size of the state government to make it more efficient and less expensive. But he's a Republican and knows the only way he can get this proposal through the Democratic legislature is with a groundswell of support by the voters throughout the state. With a masterful job of public relations, Sargent is slowly trying to turn the taxpayers' revolt around into vocal support for his reorganization. Today's rebels insist that welfare, education, and many other government costs can be trimmed. They've already blocked a legislative pay raise and now want to see the size of the legislature reduced. So in the Tea Party era, the rallying cry was no taxation without representation. Today's rebels are equally obsessed with too much taxation, but now with too much representation. David McCormick reporting for Monitor.
Yeah, boy. Hey, did you see the story in the paper this morning? They're raising the taxes in this state. 1%. Those clowns we sent to Albany. Crumb buns. I guess no matter how you slice it, taxes are baloney. In Boston, New York, everywhere else as well. Witness this dramatic confrontation, if you will.
Are you Mr. Bill Dana?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'm from the Income Tax Department.
My name, Jose Jimenez.
A clear case of taxpayer syndrome, if ever I heard one. And it's all so unnecessary. The Internal Revenue people aren't out to get you, are they? Are they? My name, Jose Jimenez, too. Sides now, Enoch Light's orchestra. heard coast to coast on monitor in Maryland over WTBO in the Cumberland and Tri-State area. The death of former President Eisenhower has brought expressions of sympathy and tributes to his many achievements from nations all around the world. For the reaction in Britain, here is a report by David Weber, NBC News, London.
People here in Great Britain have been saying for a long time that they like Ike, long before it became an American campaign slogan. And this, of course, was because they came to know General Eisenhower during the Second World War, when, as Supreme Commander of the Allied War Machine, he took up residence in London and regularly toured the English countryside inspecting troops and military camps. When the war was over, General Eisenhower was given the keys to the city of London. There's an apartment permanently reserved for him in a Scottish castle. And down at Portsmouth, where he directed D-Day operations in 1944, a new wing of the cathedral has been dedicated to him. One of the many messages of sympathy sent from London to Washington said Mr. Eisenhower's death will be regarded as a great loss, no less for us than for the United States. The message was from the Foreign Minister, Michael Stewart. Today, Stewart joins hundreds of other Britons at the American Embassy to sign the condolence book that's been placed there under a portrait of Mr. Eisenhower on a table with freshly cut spring flowers. The British newspapers this morning showed some measure of the great love Britons held for the former president. Some of them, including the London Times, ran full-page obituaries as well as devoting their leading editorials to the subject. The Times said Mr. Eisenhower's death is especially poignant here in Britain because it snaps one of the last living links with the Churchill era. The Daily Mail expanded on the same thought. Its editorial said, just as Churchill was the last great Englishman of his time, so Eisenhower was the last great American of his. David Weber, NBC News, London.
We'll have further reactions from other countries later today and tomorrow. Monitor continues shortly.
Hi, this is Big Wilson. The Bethpage Jewish Community Center, 600 Broadway in Bethpage, Long Island, will hold a benefit art auction Sunday afternoon, March 30, from 12 noon on. Completely different works will be offered. Admission is free. Jerusalem, the 73-minute sound motion picture in color, in which Billy Graham gives the narration on the 4,000-year history of this ancient city, which is so important to the Jewish and Christian faiths, will be shown at First Presbyterian Church on Palm Sunday evening, March 30th, at 7 p.m. People of all faiths are invited to see this picture and hear its message for our day. Admission is free. Catherine Lorillard Wolf Art Club is having its 72nd annual exhibition. There will be representational work in oils, watercolors, graphics, and sculpture. That's at the National Arts Club, 15 Gramercy Park in New York City, March 31st through April 13th, daily from noon to 6. Admission is free. And the Huntington Audubon Society will present the last film in its current wildlife film series Wednesday, April 2nd at 8:15 p.m. at John Glenn High School on Elwood Road.
You are listening to WNBC Radio in New York.
This is Frank Orrin, WNBC News. It's 12:30, 56 degrees in New York and cloudy. The body of former President Eisenhower was taken to the National Cathedral in Washington today under an escort of generals and admirals. The casket was taken from a funeral home 20 blocks away, carried by military pallbearers representing the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and Coast Guard. The body of the late president will lie in repose for 24 hours. Tomorrow afternoon, the casket will be carried from the cathedral to the rotunda of the Capitol building for a ceremony and a eulogy by President Nixon. The body will lie in state under the Capitol dome until Monday afternoon, and then will be returned to the cathedral for a funeral service. Late Monday, the body of the five-star general will be placed aboard a train to his final resting place, his hometown of Abilene, Kansas. The Army has announced that the route of the funeral train will be kept secret, apparently to discourage large crowds from gathering on or near the tracks. Here in New York, many of the city's businesses, government agencies, and schools will be closed Monday in honor of the late general. Both the New York and American stock exchanges will be closed. So will post offices, and regular delivery service will be suspended. All state offices will close at noon. City government offices close at 1 p.m. Fordham University, Columbia, Brooklyn's Polytechnic Institute, Yeshiva University, Pace College, and the Brooklyn campus of Long Island University all will be closed Monday. Up the Hudson River, cadets at West Point will fire a cannon every half hour today. At noon Monday, the academy will fire a 21-gun salute, and then after retreat, cannons will be fired 50 times at five-second intervals. General Eisenhower was graduated from West Point 54 years ago. In other news, Allied forces have fought 10 battles across South Vietnam. One of them was only 6 miles outside Saigon, the closest fighting that has yet come to the South Vietnamese capital since the start of the Viet Cong spring offensive. Military spokesman also announced that 3 American aircraft were shot down. One of the aircraft was an Air Force twin-engine bomber. The other 2 were helicopters. 1 crewman was killed. In ground fighting, 251 Viet Cong and North Vietnamese were reported killed, 7 Americans and 10 South Vietnamese. The Czech news agency says Warsaw Pact maneuvers are being held in Poland, East Germany, and Czechoslovakia. The agency says one of the aims of the maneuvers is to strengthen cooperation and friendship among the communist nations. Angry Czechoslovaks reportedly ransacked the office of the Soviet airline in Prague today, chanting, "Russians, go home." Eyewitnesses said the storming of the office came after a huge crowd gathered in Prague's main square following the Czech defeat of the Russians in World Ice Hockey Championships in Stockholm. This just in, George McManus, chief of personnel in the police department, was named today as chief inspector. McManus, 50 years old, succeeds Sanford Gerlich, who retired to run for city council president on Mayor Lindsay's fusion ticket. The appointment of McManus was announced by Police Commissioner Howard Leary at a news conference just a few minutes ago. A former director of the Police Academy and an assistant dean of the Police Science School at Baruch School, McManus is an assistant chief inspector. He entered the department on February 17, 1943, after serving on the Port of New York Authority Police Force. He has a master's degree from City College, and so George McManus, chief of personnel in the police department, has been named as chief inspector of the police department, replacing Sanford Gerlich, who resigned Thursday to run on Mayor Lindsay's fusion ticket for city council president. The New York State Legislature early today approved a penny-on-the-dollar increase in the sales tax for New York City residents. This means a new levy of 6 cents on the dollar for merchandise. The measure is designed to produce $340 million in additional revenue. The weather in New York, mostly cloudy, windy, and turning colder this afternoon with a chance of a few brief showers, the highest in the 50s. Tonight will be clearing, windy, and cold with the lowest in the mid-20s, and then mostly sunny, continued cold and windy tomorrow with a high in the mid-30s. Right now, 56 degrees and cloudy in New York. This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, and now back to Monitor.
Go north or south, go east or west, just get in your car.
Also find me, Gene Rayburn. However, in a decade or two or three, when you go far west, you might not find California. How so? Well, according to a prediction by a geologist this past week, a very severe earthquake along the San Andreas Fault is a possibility. But don't let it shake you up. It's not official. And neither is this musical comment by Shango in Day After Day.
Day after day, more people come to L.A. Don't you tell anybody, the whole place slipping away.
Where can we go when there's no San Francisco? Shh, better get ready to tie up the boat in Idaho.
Do you know the swim? You better learn quick, Jim.
Those who don't know the swim better sing the hymn.
Tuna at the bowl, fine fillet of mutton.
What can you do with a bushel of wet gold? Day after day, more people come to L.A. Shh, don't you tell anybody, the whole place shaking away. Where can we go when there's no San Francisco? Shh, better get ready to tie up the boat in Idaho.
Thank you.
sing to him. Do not the bow, find Billy of my soul.
What can you do with a bushel of wet gold? Day after day, old people come to L.A. Shh, don't you tell anybody, the won't be shaken away.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Lincoln Mercury went in.
I gave it the office.
Or else a loser with money.
We have an old new Montego this year. Nothing comes near. Stand up and cheer, winner.
Take a photograph of a Mercury Montego out to your garage and see how nervous your old car gets.
Montego is here. Drive a winner this year.
You realize the Montego is priced so low, you can afford to buy me all kinds of luxury extras.
Great. And we can trade you in for the works.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Now, a word from our alternate sponsor.
Hey there, Bunky. You say you're driving your car towards the collection area on a toll road, and the only booths that don't have long lines of cars and trucks waiting to pay their tolls are the exact change booths, and the smallest change you have is a $20 bill, and you're already an hour late for a date with a gorgeous blonde? Is that what's disturbing your equanimity, Bunky?
Well, listen to this monitor tip and you hold your head up high next time. Seriously, folks, when your day's itinerary is going to include the use of toll roads or toll bridges, get a supply of coins in the right denominations and keep them in an easily accessible pocket or in one of those inexpensive coin holders that attach to the dashboard or sun visor, see? Now, a word about State Farm.
This is Al Capp. For years now, my gravelly but strangely seductive voice has been coming out of your radio extolling the virtues of your State Farm agent. I've told you that he's a nice guy, a friendly guy, that his service is fast, and that his company, State Farm Mutual, is so reliable that it's been the world's biggest automobile insurer for 27 years, and you've been saying nuts to you, Capp. Well, I'm going to let you try out a State Farm agent on a free trial basis. Go to your State Farm agent's office. See if he isn't friendly. See if he isn't fast. See if he isn't a nice guy. Do it. And I'm sure that the next time you hear my voice, you'll turn to your radio and say, "May the heavens smile on you, little Al Capp."
For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Attention, moviegoers! That man is here again. The scourge of sloppy cinematographers, Monitor's film critic, Gene Shalit, with a few words on a brand new flick. Tell him, Gene.
A group of science fiction stories by Ray Bradbury have been stretched into a movie starring Rod Steiger. It's called The Illustrated Man, and it opened this week. Ray Bradbury is one of our most popular science fiction writers, and Rod Steiger is just about as good an actor as America has right now. What a combination. Terrible, if you want to know the truth. After The Illustrated Man, Rod Steiger may have to go somewhere and hide for a couple of weeks. But it'll be hard to hide, because in this movie, Steiger is tattooed all over. And I mean all over. And we see it all. Isn't that thrilling? How it happens is that Rod Steiger works for a carnival as a laborer, and he's not too brilliant. But he is lonely. One day he meets this weirdo played by Claire Bloom. They're made for each other. He craves love, and she needs somebody to tattoo. So they trade bodies. It's the first deal I ever heard of where both people get the worst of it. Steiger ends up tattooed from neck to foot, which is bad enough, but now he's got to tell us about it. He's got a story for every one of the illustrations, which is what The Illustrated Man is about. A series of stories, three supernatural stories. And Rod Steiger and Claire Bloom are in each one. These stories in The Illustrated Man take place in a far-off future and in faraway places, but not far enough away to suit me. This is Gene Shalit for Monitor.
Well, you win some, you lose some. Luckily, there's no law in this country that requires you to go to the movies. And you got Gene Shalit to keep an eye on out for your interests there. Saturdays and Sundays on Monitor.
Here's a reminder from your FTD florist. Easter Sunday's just around the corner. And now is the time to call or visit your nearby FTD florist. When you order early, he'll assure on-time delivery, even save you money on out-of-town orders. And this year, there's more. Many FTD florists can send a combination of flowers and candy, but flowers plus or flowers alone, the time to order for Easter is now. The one who can make it all happen is your FTD florist.
A few words now on behalf of the Council for Financial Aid to Education. Education may be the most important key to a better America, but for better education, we need more good teachers than we have, college-educated men and women. And for this, colleges need financial help from businesses, foundations, and people like you. Give to the college of your choice. The future depends on it. Well, sir, I hate to inject a jarring note into our weekend, but facts must be faced. There are only 17 mailing days until the income tax deadline. Sorry about that. Here on the Monitor Beacon.
Attention all homeowners. Before you go through the endless expense of re-siding or repainting your home again, here's exciting news from the Delco Corporation and the... Now, as a spring special, Reliable Delco will caulk all your windows and doors and reset your leaders and gutters at no extra cost when you place your Renew-It order. Now have Renew-It power sprayed on your home in any of the 14 beautiful colors. Renew-It lasts 20 to 30 years and offers a 10-year material replacement guarantee on product failure against peeling, chipping, or cracking. Renew-It fuses with any surface, whether it's wood, cement, stucco, shingle, or brick, and will make your home look new again. Waterproof Renew-It also insulates your home and cuts down your fuel bills. No money down, take up to 5 years to pay. Remember, Delco's spring special. They will caulk your windows and doors and reset your leaders and gutters free when they power spray Renew-It on your home. Call for shop-at-home service at AX70188. That's AX70188. In New Jersey, call 333-4646. Out of area, call collect AX70188.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Gene Rayburn again, and it's a ring-a-ding-ding-ding-ding time again. Do I hear it? Yeah, there it is, ring-a-ding-ding-ding. Another Monitor tip, this one in the food department. The outdoor cooking season is almost here. As a matter of fact, in some parts of the country already is here. So if you're planning to bake potatoes on your barbecue grill, let them stand in boiling water for 15 minutes before wrapping them in aluminum foil. This will cut the normal baking time in half. Big help if you got a bunch of hungry guests to feed. Now, here's another big help.
Hot dog, Armor hot dog. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dog?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sexy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs.
Armor hot dog.
The dogs kids eat day and night.
Fat kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to fight.
Love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids love to bite.
Kids love the great all-meat taste of Armor hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Armor hot dogs.
Next on Monitor, Monsieur DuPont, Mademoiselle Sandy Shaw sings.
The rain was falling down as I flew out of town. I went to Paris for the day. And there I got to know a certain Romeo with a such gentle continent away. Monsieur DuPont. Tenderly, but I was never loved before. said hello to me. And I began to say that I could fall in love with you. I seem to realize the kind of paradise your continent of peace could lead me to. Monsieur Dupont, Monsieur Dupont, made me see so tenderly that I was never loved before. Monsieur Dupont,
message from the Oak Flooring Institute. Playing games with illusion and reality is fine for a magician. Sometimes we get a kick out of being tricked. I fooled you there, huh? But buying a new home is no time for illusion. It's a time for facing facts. Like, does that new house have a real floor in it, or just a rough concrete or plywood subfloor covered up with carpeting? Carpeting wears out. Somebody's going to have to pay for it someday, probably you. So when you look at a new home, look for real floors. Oak floors. Oak floors never wear out, and they let you decorate any way you like. You don't take a chance with oak floors. Next on Monitor, Dr. Donald B. Luria, president of the New York State Council on Drug Addiction and author of the book, The Drug Scene. Every weekend, Dr. Luria discusses some aspect of drug abuse, and with the recent tragic death of a Columbia University student, revealing the fact that LSD is still being used by misguided young people, the doctor has this to say.
Those who in the past years have urged LSD on our young people have done so for a variety of reasons, and the following are the benefits they feel accrue after LSD administration. One is acquisition of insights, but all the evidence now is that the so-called insights are extraordinarily superficial. People take LSD, for example, and then say, I learned a great deal about myself. I learned that I'm an egotist. They hardly needed to take LSD to find that out. Second is creativity. They say if you take LSD, you will be far more creative, but all the objective evidence suggests this is not true. Third, they say that their aesthetic sensitivity is augmented. They can appreciate art or music better. This, too, is erroneous. In point of fact, what they do is distort the art because their perceptions are markedly abnormal. Fourth, they say they're more lovable. I don't know how to interpret this, but I certainly haven't found it true among the LSD users I've known. Fifth, they say LSD is the most potent aphrodisiac ever known to man. That is absolutely specious. In point of fact, many of the hallucinations may have erotic content, but those taking LSD are uninterested in actual sexual experience, so surely this is no aphrodisiac. In other words, they enjoy their erotic hallucinations but are uninterested on acting on those hallucinations. And the final point is that they say it provides a valid religious experience, and yet all the evidence now suggests that what they do is distort reality, but they do not have true religious experiences. And where we stand now, after several years of investigation on this drug, is that all the alleged benefits of LSD have turned out to be entirely erroneous. And those who take the drug can only legitimately claim that they are using LSD because they get kicks from it, not any additional benefits. This is Donald B. Luria for Monitor.
You'll hear Dr. Luria again tomorrow on Monitor, at which time he'll discuss some experiments made under strictly controlled medical supervision involving terminal patients in which the drug LSD seems to be of value. And in the weekends to come, Dr. Luria will cover many other aspects of the use and abuse of drugs, one of the continuing and increasing problems of our times.
The thing of shapes to come.
Zuccarelli's definitely not a put-on.
That's big of you.
Want to cut calories? Sucral's the thing. It's America's favorite no-calorie sweetener, created to taste like sugar. Sucral's formula is actually patented, so get the real thing. Sucral, the sweetener with a patent on good taste.
Take a Weight Watcher to lunch.
Schifrin's latest, The Getaway. Before we make our exit from this hour of Monitor and head for the latest NBC Monitor news, I want to step aside for a moment and let a very good friend of ours have a few words with you. Gary Moore, it's all yours.
Thanks, Gene. Just wanted to pass along a little program note to our distinguished Monitor audience, which is that yours truly will be playing host for Sunday night segment of same. We've lined up a few more helpful discussions on that extremely taxing problem that we all seem to be facing these days, plus some other equally fascinating features, and who knows, maybe a few surprises. So until tomorrow night, this is Gary Moore saying goodbye out there.
And this is Gene Rayburn saying, I'm going to be listening to Gary Moore tomorrow. Be sure you do, too. Joe O'Brien. All I said was fun, 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 and you. That's what I want. And boy, did I get told where to go.
This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you get what you want. Joe O'Brien, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
I am New York housewife. Want to reach me? You can be there while I change the diapers, while I drive to the supermarket. You can be there with radio. 20 million New York radios. 20 million salesmen. Keeping me company. New York housewife.
New Yorkers are tuned in people. Reach them with radio. New York radio.
You are listening to WNBC Radio. In New York.